It's my privilege to introduce to you our speaker this evening. Her name is Martha Fletcher, and she's from Chelmsford. You know, a woman has impact on her neighborhood when both of her next-door neighbors are the ones who introduced me to her. On either side, I've known both of her neighbors. So she obviously has a tremendous impact there. But Martha is also a Bible teacher. I've known her as a speaker. And now she is an author, because Martha has been parenting 6 children for, I don't know, 20 plus years, I'm sure.
32.
And she wrote about it in a book that she has called A Guided Journey, Parenting with Jesus in the Raft. And I am so pleased to introduce my friend and dear, dear wise woman and a woman of patience, Martha Fletcher.
Oh, my. So I have to say, I mean, this is like old home week, but Melanie Boudreau, woo-hoo, right? I babysat her for kindergarten, Debbie? Yeah. Right? Yeah, well, that's a little more intimate, but I wasn't nursing Melanie, but I was nursing my daughter. So, just to get that straight. So, But, yeah, I don't want to trivialize that incredible worship set. Oh, right? I mean, it's so fun to be together, but thank you, Allie and Melanie and men. I don't know who they are. What's that?
They ran?
Yeah. No, it was incredible. It was beautiful. So thank you. Thank you, thank you. So, here we are. We're ready to thrive. All right. So it's funny, I got an email today. I consulted with a friend. She was actually a roommate in college. And so she has cystic fibrosis. And so she has lived sort of a compromised life for all her life. And is it possible to crank those a little bit down? Because I like seeing you. I know you can see me extremely well. I'm shining, I'm sure. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyway, so because of the journey that she's had, and I knowing that I was speaking on patience, I said, what are your thoughts, Nancy? And I received it today, and it was exactly what I'm going to speak on tonight. And I went, okay then. I think God's in this. I know God's in this. So we welcome him. So the fruit of the Spirit. You have a handout, and if you don't have a handout, does everybody have a handout? If you don't, they were on the reception desk out there. But let's start. There's a reason why we have paper. We'll find out at the end. Not fancy this stuff. But let's read this verse together, because this is our you've been journeying through the fruit of the Spirit in these Thrive meetings. So let's read this together in unison. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So tonight, patience. We're going to talk about patience. But let me back this up. We have this list of attributes here, among which is patience. But let me back it up to that first phrase. The first phrase says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the word fruit, it's not fruits, because in the Greek language it's singular. It's one. So these are attributes of one single entity, or fruit. And it's the fruit of whom? The Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's one entity. It's one, if we can say it's one entity, it's a descriptor of the nature and character, maybe we could even say the personality of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, who is the same in nature and character as the Father and the Son, is perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect patience, perfect kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. By backing this up, it's like, wait a minute, we can overlook that and say, okay, let me just get to this list of attributes and see which one I'm missing. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I needed to come to this patience one tonight, right? Or I could really use the talk on peace or whatever it is. And we can sort of look at it in that manner. But what I'm suggesting tonight is we stop that. And we look at it as a personality of a person, God the Holy Spirit, with whom we can have relationship and who wants to walk all of this out in us and through us. God the Holy Spirit has graciously condescended to inhabit these earthen vessels, made holy by the blood of Jesus. He is a Holy Spirit, so he can only dwell in a holy vessel. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is, to make somebody like me a holy vessel. That's remarkable. So what we're talking about here is that he desires relationship with you and me. And in relationship with him, these parts of his nature start to express themselves through us. We went to drop off our son, Evan, at West Virginia University in August, and then we took a week of vacation in Virginia, and we had to sort of eat out more than we usually do. So, Chipotle. I think I had been once to Chipotle. Does everybody know about Chipotle? Ha, 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 ha. All right, you sound like my kids. Ha, 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 Mom. Like, really? What rock did you grow up under? Anyway, so Chipotle. But, you know, as I was preparing this, I was like, it's very interesting because I think my approach to the fruit of the Spirit was kind of like a Chipotle line. Where you come with your wrap. Okay, this is me, you know, or your bowl, here we go, and you come up to the line and say, yes, I will take a big portion of love, okay, you can put that right there, sure, love, lots of love, joy, that's kind of like the salsa section, you know, well, not too spicy, or maybe, yeah, really spicy, you know, like joy. And then peace is kind of like the sour cream. You put it on the side, and then you mush it into everything to kind of make it all mellow, right? And patience, I don't know. I think patience is beans. Patience, yeah, I'll take a big portion of patience. You know, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, it's sort of like the veggie section, you know? And so it's like, kindness, goodness. I mean, I don't even know how they're different from. No, I'm good on that. I'm fine. I'm all set. Faithfulness. All right. Tomatoes. Just a little bit. Gentleness. Definitely lettuce. Okay. A little bit of lettuce. And then self-control. And we'll put, you know, that's the cheese. We'll sprinkle that on top of everything. Wrap it up. we're good to go. And then if you're in a different mood, you come to the line a different day and you say, yeah, no, a little bit less on this and a little bit more of this, and I'm really lacking. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that what this is? Is that what this is? Is it a Chipotle line? Is that how I approach the fruit of the Spirit? Or am I coming to say, Holy Spirit, God, Holy Spirit, I want to have relationship with you. And with you comes all of this. It's almost a little bit dishonoring, isn't it, to say, I just want the stuff. I don't really want relationship with you. This became, again, clearer to me probably about, 15, 18 years ago, something like that. So we were definitely living here in Chelmsford. And my husband, Michael, travels quite a bit. And so it was at the, at some portion of one of his trips. And, you know, if I were to approach a Chipotle line typically, and with this sort of selection mentality, I might pass on patience. Because I'm like, oh, I'm pretty good. Occasionally, I would go back to the line and say, yeah, I need I'm a little low. Give me some of those beans. But no, for the most part, I like, this is a pretty good part of my character. But for some reason, on this, the heels of this trip, and I was with the kids, and it was time for them to go to bed. And at this point, the older ones are teenagers, so it's not like putting all, but I did have some little ones. And it was like, no, it's really time for everybody to go to bed. But Mom, I need, no. You, let me say it again. You don't understand. It is time to go to bed. And I started to, and the kids, literally, there was nothing wrong with them. I mean, it's just the normal, like, I gotta go pee, I got a little water, another story, you know. It's just the norm, it's nothing bad. Like, some of my kids are here. You were fine. It was me. It was totally me. But I remember feeling something rising up in me and go, oh, I am going to absolutely lose it. I retreated down the hallway. They were like, mom, 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 mom. Retreated down the hallway, went into the living room, and I went, that's it, done. I don't want more of my patience, because mine is obviously broken. Mine, I don't want you to give me more of mine. I want yours. Because yours is perfect, and that's what these kids need, and I don't have it. No, I don't want it. I want, and I said this phrase, and I had never said it before this way. No, I want you to be patience in me. And at that point, something flipped, where I no longer was like, yeah, mine's pretty good, or I can supplement mine, or just give, no, done. No, mine's broken. That's not what my kids need. Actually, my love is broken too, and my joy, and my peace, and my patience. It's all broken. So will you come and be in me? Will you live this out through me? Will you manifest yours through me? It was definitely a shift. So with this primitive little illustration, one might think when one invites the Holy Spirit to express himself in and through us, his personality, his love, his joy, his peace, that we all look, then start, we'll all start to look the same. You know, so we have all these little clones walking around that have all the same attributes. But interestingly, patience in me doesn't look like patience in Jan. Or patience in me doesn't look like patience in Tracy. We don't lose our personhood. You see, the little lights here are all the same. They're all Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit. But it shines out, and I don't know if you can see, there are different designs in each one of these vessels. He shines out through us with his particular, without masking or overlaying our particular personality. It's so remarkable and so beautiful. So we don't have to aspire, no one has to aspire to be like me. I don't know why you would anyway, but no one has to aspire. You can be you, how God created you, filled with the Holy Spirit, with his life and his light shining through you uniquely. Remarkable, amazing. That's great with the light, thank you. So, let's move on to talk about this particular word. So now we have sort of the context. I'm pointing you toward a relationship with God rather than a commodity from God. Does that make sense? So we'll keep working this. So on your handout, you'll see that in the context of Galatians 5, the word for patience is makrothumia. Makro meaning long, thumia meaning temper, wrath, rage. So it is long-tempered or long-suffering, some versions use that word, as opposed to short-fused or short-tempered. It's so cute. That's the wrong word for it, but anyway. But, you know, it's yes, as opposed to short-fused. So, in Vine's Expository Dictionary, and I put this in your handouts as well, because we'll work off of this. It takes the Greek words and sort of expands them. So makrothumia is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, offense, injury, opposition, or ridicule, which does not retaliate, return evil for evil, or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and associated with mercy, not giving out what is deserved, and is used to describe God. So in Exodus 34, when the Lord talks to Moses about his name, he says, the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, the Hebrew rendition of this makrothumia. It is part and parcel of who he is. When we sing about his name, we're singing about his character. And this is part of his character. It is also the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and associated with hope. So here we have makrothumia in two parts, in relationship to people and in relationship to circumstances. First, we're going to talk about it in relationship with people, but before we do that, let's talk about, so we talk about God announcing that this is part of his nature. Let's talk about Jesus exhibiting this quality, because you know God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we should see this evidenced in Jesus' life. So probably the thing that to me is the most striking about this quality walked out in our Lord Jesus Christ was that last meal that he had with his disciples. And he said, I long to share this meal with you. So they gather for the meal, and they're at table. all with their dirty feet because no one wants to get up and wash the other's feet because that's servant's work. And because they've also had an argument on the road on the way about which one of them is the greatest. So Jesus gets up, girds himself with a towel, washes their feet. And then they start to share the Passover meal together. And in the midst of the Passover meal, Jesus is troubled. And he says, one of you will betray me. And they go, you know, is it I, Lord? Is it I? It is I. It's the one who's going to dip in the bowl with me. And Judas does so and leaves. The betrayer goes out, one of his friends. This is a meal with his closest friends. Betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. Well, they continue the meal, and they finish up, and Jesus said, you know, all of you are going to leave me tonight. You're gonna abandon me. What? You know, Peter gets up and says, they might. They all might. Not me. I will never leave you. I will never. Oh, Peter, don't you know that tonight you will three times deny that you even know me? No, you're wrong. Count on me. And then they go out. They go out to the garden. Jesus is overcome with sorrow. He pulls Peter, James, and John with him, says, watch with me. Watch with me. He goes over and wrestles. Father, let this cup pass from me. Comes back, they're sleeping. Could you not watch with me? Pleading, watch with me. He goes away. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Comes back, they're sleeping again. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prays again. Comes back, they're sleeping again. Too late. My betrayer is at hand. Judas comes up, kisses Jesus on the cheek. Master, friend, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Guards grab him. Peter comes forward with his sword, chops off the slave's ear. At which point Jesus said to Peter and to all, do you not think that I could not appeal to my Father, and he would at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? What a night. I mean, we think sometimes we have a bad Thanksgiving because our relatives don't get along, right? I share this to say, to point out, this is macrothumia. This is Jesus evidencing that quality. This is not natural. It is supernatural. This is not natural patience. No matter, I don't care how patient you are or I am. One of us would have lost it somewhere along here. And the reason that Jesus did not lose it is not because he's trying to show us how to be nice people. Macrothumia is also this fierce submission to the will of God. He evidenced this because he knew how then must the scriptures be fulfilled. It is an incredibly powerful attribute, and it is supernatural. Attainable, however, in our earthen vessels through God the Holy Spirit. So, let's look at us in relationship to people. We're going to look at relationship to others. We're going to look at relationship to ourselves. And then we're going to look at relationship with God. Patience in these three realms. Patience toward others. So, that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient, macrothumia, with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. I dare say this is sort of another list here of attributes. And we see that same kind of, notice that the fruit of the Spirit, some of the attributes, here's peace. I italicized some of these. There's peace alongside patience, not repaying evil for evil, self-control. Always seeking to do good, goodness, rejoice, always joy. You see, this is an entity. It's not, okay, now let's see, what do I have to do? Okay, don't repeat your, check. Rejoice always, okay, check. How could we, but God says, I want to walk this out with you. I want to exhibit this through you. It is my life, it is my light in you. That's how this happens. Patience, macrothumia to them all. It's all mingled. One of the things also that I notice in this passage is the ones with whom we need to exhibit patience. So we have the idle. Another word that's used for that is those that have sort of gone off the path or strayed. The idle, the faint-hearted, the weak, and I would say the evil, the ones that are don't repay evil for evil. So macrothumia toward people that may be difficult to be macrothumia toward, right? To be have patience toward. But the interesting thing in this, to me, is that, you know, sometimes you think that patience is this, you know, passive, soft-spoken, gentle, you know, don't let them have that, just, you know, be kind. And well, looks like we can patiently give someone a kick in the pants, right? Admonish the idle. There's nothing incongruous about this. Admonish the idle. Encourage, like, courage, faint-hearted one. That doesn't sound very nice, but could that be what macrothumia looks like? Could that be Holy Spirit patience? I think yes. So I think that sometimes I stop short and I say, okay, you be patience in me. Now I have to go to tell all the kids, now nice little children, everybody get in bed. It's time. Kiss, 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 kiss. No, I don't think so. At some point you're like, it's time for bed. You need to be in bed. No, I will not rub your tummy. No, I will not tell you another story. No, you may not go pee. I'm sorry. No, no, no. Patiently, but no, no. What does it look like? I think we need to ask. If it's his patience, and we're dealing with somebody in our life that this is the person that rubs. All right? I want you to exhibit your patience through me. But what does that look like? What would you do? How would you be patient with them all? Because I think when we presume, we start to do this. And we start to overlay, what I'm doing is covering up this little thing here. The light's still in there, but we're saying, no, okay, I'm supposed to act this way, this way, this way, and this way. And we take over. The light's still in there, but it can't shine out the way it's intended. Let's look at patience toward ourselves. Patience toward ourselves. Oh, last thing on this. Obviously, the end of this It says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. So perhaps this is a quench. With ourselves, patience toward ourselves. I think for a lot of us, it's easier to extend patience outward than it is inward. Right? Some of us can be really hard and impatient with ourselves. I've done it again. I said it again. I didn't do it. I'm always going to be like this. I'm never, ever not going to. Love is patient. Love is kind. No, sorry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, patience, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. Love is patient. God is patient toward me. So if I am impatient with myself, am I wiser, better than God? Patience. Patience toward ourselves. When it says be patient with them all, that includes yourself. Edward Allen writes about the fruit of the Spirit. And he said the opposite of patience, and I'm going to put in here patience toward ourselves, is not impatience necessarily, but it's giving up, letting go, slinking away defeated, retreating in shame, throwing in the towel. The fruit of the Spirit is not that kind of cowardice. Ooh. Is that what I'm doing when I'm giving up on myself? Slinking away? When I'm impatient with myself? That's it. That's it. God's mad at me. I know he's mad at me. Forget it. I'll never change. Those are the lies that don't belong in the heart of a child of God. God the Holy Spirit wants to extricate those from us and say, no, my patience extends to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quench the Spirit. How about patience toward God? Well, you might say, okay, I won't give up. What, how long? How long is this going to take? Right? I'm waiting. How long? How long? How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to see the opposite happening in my life? How long? God, have you forgotten? Or don't you hear me? Don't you care? Some of us can grow very impatient with God. Well, God the Holy Spirit can enable us to develop that kind of supernatural patience. When you've waited a long, long time, and some of you in here have waited a long, long time. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow, okay, feels slow to me, to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you. Talk about turning the tables. He is macrothumia toward you, and that's a plural you. Because as much as we are the apple of his eye, we're not the only one in the universe. And we serve a magnificent God who is doing a mighty work, and he's weaving that intimate work that he's doing in you with this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. Because he is not wishing that any would perish, but that all would reach repentance. Those of you that wrestle with God in this way, have you read the book by the author Habakkuk? I don't know how the Hebrews would say it. It's an awesome little book in the Old Testament. And it is this author who basically said, He just said, God, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing. And I demand an explanation. So I'm gonna take my stand and I'm gonna watch, and you're gonna answer me. And he didn't get struck with lightning. He wrote the book and he wrote the answers. But the funny thing, or the amazing thing about Habakkuk, since he's like me, is he had to ask that twice. So the first time God answers him, it's in your handout at the bottom. It says, for behold, I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe even if told. Yeah, I know you're waiting, but I'm doing something that's so profound and magnificent, and it's about my will, and it includes you. Habakkuk says, great, okay. But I still don't like this answer, because I'm going to ask again. He is a gutsy guy, I tell you. And then God answers him again. And he says, and God says this, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. See, in God's view, it's going fast. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. But you know, we can't do that without macrothumia. It is a supernatural patience that God, the Holy Spirit, can produce in us as we lean into him and ask him. Patience toward others. Mine is broken. Patience toward myself, still broken. Toward God, yep, broken. But God, who dwells in the life, in the heart of each one who has been washed by the blood of Jesus, and can exhibit this kind of supernatural patience. That's what we're talking about. And I tell you, this even applies to those of you that lose it in traffic or with drivers. Of course it does. You don't have to sigh, I need to be patient, as you are breaking your steering wheel in two. God, but God. Let's talk about macrothumia. Toward circumstances. The second part of that definition is that it is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and associated with hope. Difficult circumstances are difficult. They're wearing. They grind us down. It's a disability. A sickness in yourself, in a loved one that you're caring for. It's a difficulty with finances. You just can't get out of the hole. It's a recovery from loss or trauma. It's an unrepentant loved one or a struggling child. It's being separated from your home or your culture or your family and being a stranger. It's chronic loneliness. It's loss associated with aging. It's persecution, discrimination. I mean, these are circumstances that test and try our patience. They are trials. They produce suffering. They are wearing and wearying. So let's look again at Jesus. God the Son exhibiting this quality in his life. So in Hebrews 12, it talks about us running our race, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him patiently endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you might not grow weary or faint-hearted. So any of these losses, you think about our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about this, you know, being in a strange land with strange people. Maybe you're not home. Maybe this New England is a foreign land to you and you're far away. Jesus was far, far from home. And his home was a whole heck of a lot better. Imagine loss. Imagine suffering. Imagine. I can't. He gets it. This is not an enduring the cross, enduring the ridicule, enduring the spits and the slaps and the scourging. Anyway, this is not natural. This is supernatural to bear under those circumstances for our sake. We are the joy that was set before him for our sake. Macrothumia in Jesus' life. So Romans 5, 3 through 4, talks about this kind of suffering. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in sufferings, not natural, supernatural. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces patient endurance. Endurance produces tested, refined, and approved character. And character, whose character starts to shine through? That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ, manifested through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That character starts to shine through, and that produces in us hope. Hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So if you are under circumstances that are wearing you down, this is not saying, okay, here's some more patience of your patience. This is to say, there is a reservoir of patience that is supernatural, but it's found in relationship with God the Holy Spirit, who wants to walk with you. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, these verses, if you read all of chapter 5 in Galatians, it talks about walking with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. These are all relational words. He wants and is willing to do life with you. So now let's say, how do we do that? What does that look like? Okay, here we go. Practical. Boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3, 4. Practically speaking, how does this happen? Number one, off with the old, on with the new. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put off the old self with its old practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, macrothumia, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. It is that basically getting to the end of ourselves saying, mine is broken. No more. I don't want more of mine, no matter how good it is, no matter how I feel like that's my strong suit. Fundamentally, it is not supernatural. It's not what we need. It's not what others need through us. Mine is broken. put off the old self and put on a list of do's. Okay, compassion. Got to be compassionate. Okay, kind, humble. No, not the Chipotle line. X, X, X. No. Put on him. Put on him. Say, I need you. I want you. And not just what you have to give me. I want you. I want to do life with you. I tell you, I'll tell you next point. Point two. Point two. Keep on asking. So, I'm done with myself. How do I put on the new? So in Luke 11, Jesus says, you know, you parents, you know, like if your child asks you for a loaf of bread, are you going to give them a stone? Or if your child asks you for a fish, are you going to give them a snake? No. So if you then who are evil, yep, I am, know how to give good gifts to your children, how more does your Father who is in heaven know how to keep on giving, that's that tense, that verb tense, keep on giving the Holy Spirit to those who keep on asking. What? Is that not an invitation or is that not an invitation? Keep on asking. Do life with me. I don't mind. Keep on asking. Sure. Frankly, the older I get, the more I ask. Because the more it's like, oh, fooey with this. I know I don't have XYZ squared. I don't have any of it. I don't have it. But I know you do. And I know you love me. And I know you're patient with me. And I know I can keep on asking. Let's do life together. Let's do life in relationship. Oh, it's so great. Oh, never go backwards. None of that. I'm done with this. Keep on asking. My friend Ruth Crocker, who's not here tonight, she's so practical. Ruth is a practical, practical lady. She has an alarm set on her watch for 11:33. You know why? I mean, sorry, 11:13. Thank you. You know why? Luke 11:13. Every day at 11:13, her alarm goes off, and it's like, oh, time to ask. As if she hadn't thought of it already, but if she hadn't, for some reason, ding, 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 ding. Oh, time to ask. Isn't that amazing? So practical. But she so wants that to be a part of her everyday life. There is no part of life that God does not want to do with you. What an honor. The God of the universe would reveal himself through these little vessels. Oh, magnificent. Thirdly, be like a farmer. I love farming. Be like a farmer. In James it says, be macrothumia, brothers, sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits patiently, I should add, for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient, macrothumia, about it until it receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient, macrothumia. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the coming of the Lord, Jesus is coming back, right, ladies? But Jesus is also coming He's revealing himself through earthen vessels so that the transcendent power would be seen to belong to him and not to us. But be patient like farmers. Farmers recognize, especially when this was written, they were very dependent. They cannot make a seed grow. They cannot make it rain early or late. They are dependent. But farmers also work really hard. They're busy. They plow. They cultivate. They weed. They stake up their plants. So they are actively waiting. And I think this is a good word for us, that even if you are waiting, it doesn't mean we twiddle our thumbs. So this man named, it's a great name, Dilly Okey. That's a great name. I don't know who he is, but I like your name. Writes in this article, Establishing Your Heart. He writes this. Establishing your heart is a process of time. God is growing oaks and not weeds. It takes time. It involves conscious effort on our part. An established heart is one rooted and grounded in the things of God. A person who has invested time with God in the word and prayer receives an inner strength from the Holy Spirit that neither time nor circumstance can weaken. Are you waiting for God to do something in your life? Make sure you are spending the time while waiting in establishing your heart. Being patient does not mean doing nothing. It requires establishing our hearts and feeding them with faith. Establish your hearts. So, one of the reasons you have these handouts like this and the little boxes are around those verses is so that if it works for you, cut them out. Glue them on a index card. Do something as you wait. What can you do? Pray without ceasing. Do not quench the spirit. 11:13. Ding, 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 ding. Ask. Keep on asking. Meditate on his word. Replace the lies. I'll always be the same. This will never change. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Establish your hearts. Cut these out. Put these on your computer screen. Put them in your car dashboard. Put them on the mirror, your mirror. Put them on your counter. I don't care. But look at this. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The last thing I want to say tonight. I want to do two more things tonight. At the beginning of that Colossians verse, it says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And how does it start? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. As I have prayed for you, and I know the whole team has prayed for you, there may be some of you here tonight who do not know that you are God's chosen one, holy and beloved. And you say, well, how can I know if God's chosen me? By choosing him. By choosing him. By saying, I'm so done with myself. I'm broken. I'm sinful. And I can't make it right. No matter how hard I try, I surrender. I want you, Jesus. I want your sacrifice on the cross and your blood, which is the most powerful cleansing agent in the whole universe, to wash me so that I can receive your coronation gift to your people, Lord Jesus Christ. Your presence, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in a holy vessel. We are now God's temple. Remarkable, because we're made holy by the blood of Jesus. Somebody here tonight may need to say, I want to know that I am God's chosen, and that I'm made holy, but not just holy, you are beloved. You are a beloved, you are now adopted into God's family and made his child. So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. If that is you, pray it along with me. And if you feel like you have the courage to do so, slip up your hand so that somebody can come alongside you while I pray. Father, if this is me, I want to know that I'm God's chosen one. I want to know that I'm holy and beloved, so I want to choose you tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, to be my Savior, to wash me of all my sins, to make me holy, so that all was spoken about tonight about the Holy Spirit living through me can be true. So I surrender my life to you tonight, and I receive your proclamation that I am now your beloved child. And now grab hands with the person next to you, if you would. A little kumbaya moment. And let's pray together and ask for those of you that are chosen. No, and I pray that everyone in this room now knows that they are chosen and they are holy and they are beloved. And our Father has said to us, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So pray with me. Just repeat, if you want to repeat these words. I don't want a script for anybody, or pray your own prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, you tell us to ask. So right now, we are asking. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We want your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, so that the world might know who you are, and so that you might get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.